So we have Narendra Arora, who is the executive director for Inclin, and 10 minutes.
Good morning, friends. Thank you very much. I will just present the outline, a rationale, and the outline of a collaborative brain-to-society surveillance system, which we are in the process of building up between Inclin and McGill. And this was in response to a RFA, which was submitted both to Indian Council of Medical Research as well as to CHR. Now, just to give a little bit a background and rationale, that the urban population in India is rising at a very steady rate, and which is in a way it's a kind of a benefit that there is no sudden or a recent increase. And if you see between 1931 and 2001, it is about 2 to 4% per 10 years. And that is what it appears that even now in 2011, we should have something like 30% or so. The other is the yesterday issue was raised about transition, economic transition and the nutrition transition. There appears to be what we have seen in the developed communities. Similarly, the total calorie intake both in rural and urban areas are decreasing. There is a change in the proportion of food. Protein intake is very similar, both urban and rural areas, but fat intake is gradually increasing. Now, this is interesting, and which basically I would like to draw your attention to these two graphs. The first is that from 1 to 12, these are 12 socioeconomic classes, and 12 is the highest and 1 is the lowest. And if you look at the food, the intake of milk and the fat, it seems to be increasing in the upper socioeconomic classes in both urban and rural areas, while the meat consumption in both these populations are very similar, and so is the vegetable intake. So it appears rural-urban is very similar if we stratify them according to socioeconomic status, but as richness increases, milk and fat intake is increasing. This is childhood obesity, and this is data during last one decade, and we see that in urban areas, anywhere between 7% to 30% of school-going children are overweight. On contrast, rural areas, it is still less than 5%, whatever little studies are available. More important is that between 1990 and 2007, if we see that there is a gradual increase, almost 2 to 3 times increase in the prevalence of overweight in Delhi upper-class children, from about 7% to 22% or so. So the problem is we cannot shut our eyes to this issue. The other issue which we have discussed yesterday also, when Dr. Shetty raised this issue about metabolic syndrome, and India is emerging as a major country with the highest number of diabetics. But I would request you to look at not only India, two other countries, Pakistan and Bangladesh, which in fact they are very similar populations. And if we combine all of them together, they make about 1.5 billion population. And you will see that almost 30-40% of the world's diabetics are residing in this population. And if you look at the scenario, the projections for 2025, again, India would have almost 7%, 6 to 7% of the population as diabetics. So these are issues which are very important, and unless we take care of it right now, we will be missing the whole opportunity. Another issue is the biological factors. During last 40 years, our low birth weight rates, that is newborns below 2.5 kg, is around 30% of all births, which is a very embarrassing as well as, but a very important fact, because these are the ones, if we go, when they grow up, the risk of metabolic syndrome is very high in these populations. This is another study which was done by Yagnik and his group, and which shows that Indian newborns have a higher fat content as compared to Caucasians right at birth, and which again indicates some kind of a fetal programming or the changes occurring right in utero, which makes them more susceptible to the issue of metabolic syndrome. Now, with this background, we have another problem. Between 1993, we have these cycles of DHS, or we call it National Family Health Surveys, and three cycles, and you find that almost half of our children below 5 years are undernourished. This is a shame on us. Despite increasing economic prosperity, almost half of our children are undernourished. But this also shows that this is an issue which also have to keep. On one side, there is increasing overweight in a certain segment of population. The other is this issue. And therefore, we need to look at the issue in a more holistic manner. So with this in mind, this whole foundational work for brain-to-society surveillance system is being kind of planned, and we intend to submit it for funding. Now, near Delhi, adjoining Delhi, we have a state called Haryana, which have 12 or 13 districts, because new districts are being carved out. And I will draw your attention to this Faridabad, which is next. This is Delhi. And next to is Faridabad, and our proposed site is Palwal, which has just recently been carved out from Faridabad district. Now, a little bit about this district. This is a major industrial hub. In fact, this is the ninth largest industrial area in the country, which is 30 kilometers south of Delhi, with a population of 2 million. Male-female ratio is very much like the national ratio. And the population, it's a mixed population. It's a highly urbanized area with people who are, we call them Punjabis, Khatri, Sikhs, Jat. This caste system, and it's a mixture of people. And then there are migrants from two other states, which basically are, these are migrant laborers. The literacy rate is like the national literacy average, and population under 6 years is also very much like the national average. Now, this district where we are planning to work and establish the surveillance system, it's a newly created district. Almost a year ago, last December it was created. It's another 30 kilometers down towards Agra on Delhi-Agra road, which with a population of just near 1 million. And male-female ratio is again 53-47. Literacy rates are like national literacy rates. Population proportion 15%, and it has four blocks. We have four blocks of sub-districts. So this whole this district is composed of four sub-districts, and we are planning to take two districts from this. Now, why Palwal district? This area is likely to witness very rapid economic development over the next 5 years. An expressway is crossing this district. Special economic and industrial zones are coming up. A dry port is coming up. This whole area is becoming an institutional hub. A lot of universities and professional colleges and a medical college is coming up. A new airport, international airport, is planned, which is 25 kilometers across the river. I'll just show you on the diagram. And so this is likely to impact, this will create new economic and job opportunities, and we assume that type. That there are going to be lifestyle changes and health scenario changes in this area. Now, this is the map of the local. This blue thing is the river. This is one of the major rivers in northern India, Yamuna. And it is on the western bank, this whole area. Now, to bypass the Delhi congestion, government is creating a western peripheral expressway, which is 136 kilometers, and an eastern peripheral expressway, again about 150 kilometers. Now, this will, as a result of this, it is expected that a lot of changes are occurring, because between this area and this area, this whole belt is likely to witness a lot of changes. Now, this is the express way which is likely to cross. This is the proposed site which we are talking about. And a rim around this, a kind of a ring road which is going to come up of about 300 kilometers or 275 kilometers, this will be converted into a special economic zone. A lot of industries will come up. And as you can see, the proposed site just superimposes on that. So we think that it's an opportunity for documenting changes in the individual, family, and community behavior in terms of lifestyle, which will be whether food behavior, physical activity, psychosocial stress, and then we can, it's a unique opportunity to correlate with a lot of other environmental influences and socioeconomic changes which these developmental process will likely to bring out in this area. Now, in the proposed study population, we intend to take two blocks, Palwal and Hathin, with a total population of 250,000, with 50,000 families. It will have both rural and urban, and also have minorities with very low socioeconomic and educational background. This is just to reemphasize the point that this red line is the expressway, and this block, this is Palwal, and this is the Hathin, the other block, and this will be the kind of geographical area. The national highway, which is going from Delhi to Agra, is just on the edge of this, and there is a major roadways. And this blue thing is the river Jamuna, which separates this from the other state, Uttar Pradesh. And just at this point, at this point, an international airport is going to come up, where I'm moving the pointer, and which is very near the state. So that's the another point which is likely to make changes. Now, looking at the key demographic features, what we find is that Hathin block is about 150,000, Palwal is 100,000. Rural primarily, but Hathin is more rural, 94%. The important point is that below poverty line in the Hathin block is 50% versus 28%. Male-female ratio is very similar, but important thing is just note the female literacy. It's just 2%, and even a male literacy in Hathin block is just 19%, as compared to 57 female in Palwal, and male is about 74 or so. So Palwal is certainly better, Hathin is. There are other factors also. Then it has a larger under-6 population. It's primarily a Muslim-dominated area. Agriculture, average household size is also important, 5.5 versus 7. While Palwal is part of the ninth biggest industrial belt, on the other hand, Hathin is one of the lowest development index having a kind of geographical area. So again, this is an opportunity that from a very kind of a backward region. And mind you, this is just about 80 to 100 kilometers from Delhi, national capital region. Looking at some of the key health indicators, neonatal mortality in Palwal block is 23 versus Hathin is 42. This is the national data. Infant mortality, 37 versus 91.5. 69 under 5 mortality versus 105. This data was collected by us in Hathin because we had conducted another study. In fact, that kind of encouraged our group to take up this as one of the. And then when we look at the health infrastructure, the shortfall from the national benchmark is about 30 to 50% for various indicators. It is 50 to 60% in this. So it is a very kind of a backward area from that, from every aspect. So the objective of the proposed surveillance system is to establish a brain-to-society surveillance system in North India. that blends with the existing mechanism of integrated disease surveillance program. This is a national program which is funded by WHO. It started by the World Bank about five years ago, and it has now become a national program. Incidentally, this program was drafted by NCLIN. To strengthen health monitoring and information systems to facilitate the collection, analysis, reporting, presentation, and use of data at local, district, regional, and national levels. The surveillance system should allow developing a model that can be later on integrated and scaled up in other parts of the country. So we want to make it very much part of the ongoing system and ensure participation of all segments of the society. The second objective is that the proposed longitudinal and cross-sectoral cohort will allow linking of factors at individual, family, community with the occurrence of obesity and other lifestyle-related chronic diseases. And these factors, the broad factors will be genetics and epigenetic changes, cognitive factors and behavior related to body shape, food and physical activity, environment and policy level information. And the attempt will be to develop micro and macro level complex systems model, which we were discussing yesterday, to support multi-level research and subsequently action. A very important objective will be to develop culturally sensitive and context-specific tools to measure changes in lifestyle. And again, we'll have to have tools which can be which allow the use of system science methods. These are other two important objectives of this study and which are integral, and we thought again it will be useful. And I must say that for objective four, we picked up some of the threads from C.K. Prahlad's discussion to formulate a sustainable, profitable, locally appropriate, and acceptable model of public, private, and civil society partnership. Because as we showed, that the health system is very weak, and therefore with this partnership we are trying to build up and to increase the reach of the program. And finally, this will be a great opportunity to create, to build capacity for Indian researchers in this unique system. The study in the first phase, it will be in 3 years, establishing a surveillance site, creating a multi-sectoral platform which will be more both at national as well as state level, development of tools, creation of database, and creating facility for sample repository. We are working with 8 national institutions, and so all kinds of studies, and therefore we will have we'll have to create one of these. And in the phase two, we'll try our hands with modeling and then identifying future research and action agenda. Just in summary, in phase one, we intend to take 5,000 families, urban and rural, and out of these, 1,000 children from 3 age categories will be taken up for detailed evaluation along with their parents. Thank you very much.